Welcome to the Sports Medicine Podcast, brought to you by the Sidney and J.L. Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance in the Department of Health and Kinesiology at Texas A&M University. At the Huffines Institute, we're always working to facilitate, apply, and bring you the most up-to-date coverage of the wide world that is sports medicine and human performance, all in a language you can understand and share with your friends. And now, here's our host, the director of the Huffines Institute, Dr. Tim Lightfoot.
Well, hello, and welcome to the weekly podcast from the Huffines Institute for Sports Medicine and Human Performance. I'm your host, Tim Lightfoot, and I'm so thankful that you took the time to download us and you're listening today. We, every week, strive to bring you an interesting person from the world of sports medicine, human performance, and general health, and this week is no exception. We have Dr. Judy Sandlin with us. Welcome to the podcast, Judy.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah,
that's a great introduction.
Well, thank you.
I'm not sure that I'm that special, but hey.
Well, I'm not done yet.
We'll go with
either.
It.
Yeah, that's right. So let me tell the audience a little bit about you and why you're here.
Okay.
And what we're going to talk about a little bit, and then we'll just jump into the conversation. Dr. Sandlin is a clinical assistant professor of human resource development for the Department of Educational Administration and Human Resource Development. She has her PhD in kinesiology from here at Texas A&M and a bachelor's from Louisiana Tech.
Yes, sir.
I went to Northeast.
That's right. We've
right
discussed that before.
Right down the street. Yeah. So, and we can still sit in the same room. She is currently an educational consultant for the United States Anti-Doping Agency, better known as USADA. Many people know it as USADA now. You are considered a true sport education ambassador by
That's
USADA.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's a nice designation. And so we've asked Dr. Sandlin here today to talk about USADA and what she does with USADA. And we're just going to start with, what is USADA's mission?
USADA is, the United States Anti-Doping Agency. They were formed back in 2000, and their primary focus is the testing and adjudication of Olympic-level athletes, Paralympic athletes, with regard to performance-enhancing drugs. They do have a science branch, and then they also have the outreach branch, which is the education portion. So that's the portion that I am involved with.
Well, most people probably have heard more about the science branch in the last 6 months because
the science, the drug testing, and the adjudication. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's been quite heavily in the news recently
yes.
with some athletes. We will not name names at this point.
There you go.
Because we really don't care to give them any more media time than
they've
had.
There you go.
So tell us about the educational outreach side of USADA, because frankly, I didn't even know about that part.
Okay.
And I'm sure a lot of people don't know about that part.
Well, like I said, USADA started in 2000 after the Sydney Games in Australia. Mm. And so if you can think back, if you're kind of a Olympic nut, you think about the Olympics, remember the Olympics, what happened in Sydney. Marion Jones was one of the competitors there. So in October of 2000, the World Anti-Doping Agency began, and basically each country then started their own separate branch and testing agency. Prior to that, the USOC was actually in charge of doing the testing and adjudication, so it's kind of like having the fox guard. So they sort of had two competing priorities, if you will. So in 2000, the World Anti-Doping Agency started, and then again each country started their own, and you know, their primary focus over the first several years was just to get that testing and the management of that and the athlete education, all that going. I heard about them because at the time I was teaching a drugs and society class. And just because of my background in sports and athletics, I always talked about the NCAA, the NFL, the USOC, Major League Baseball, and sort of their drug testing programs, et cetera. And then as I started teaching that class, I also became very interested in supplements because I had no idea how burgeoning the supplement industry was and is. And so sort of kind of for twofold reasons, I began to be interested in USADA. My husband and I are real fortunate that we have our summers off and we travel to Colorado. And so in the summer of probably 2002, I actually met with some of the folks at USADA and said, look, I'm really interested in what you're doing. I talk about you in my classes. And it just wasn't the right time. They didn't really follow up with me. And, you know, they were still trying to figure out how we're going to educate the Olympic level athletes. How are we going to test them? How are we going to, you know, make sure that they're following the rules? So several years later, I ran into some folks from USADA at an APIRD convention in Tampa. And it wasn't uncommon for the USOC to be there or the Paralympic folks to be there. But this year, USADA was there. And so a friend was with me, and she's like, Judy, I've never seen you move that fast. So as soon as I saw them there, I started talking to them. And that was actually about the time that we were moving back to Texas. And so at the time, and I'm not really sure how it is now, but at the time, Texas was one of the few states in the country that was actually drug tested at high school level.
Wow.
And so I said, look,
And they're still doing that?
I believe
really?
They are. Yeah.
Wow.
I think at the time it was Texas and Illinois. And so anyway, I kind of talked to them, said, hey, I'm moving back to Texas. I'd love to get whatever you have available into Texas. And as it turns out, they're in Colorado Springs, and we have a house in Colorado Springs. So it really makes it geographically real easy for me to go to their headquarters, go and talk. And so it really just started from there and has grown. I think that they appreciate that I was an athlete, still physically active. I'm a teacher. I feel comfortable being in a gym with 80 kids with my hair on fire, one goal, one ball, and some cones.
Sure.
And so so it's really been a very, very good relationship in terms of me kind of helping them and getting their curriculums out and their name out. And it really is a passion of mine. I go in and I start talking to them. And they're like, we're glad you like us.
Yeah. So is the educational side now, this is throughout the United States?
Correct.
And so how do they handle these programs?
Well, they have, at the time that I started working with them, they had a junior high and a high school program. And their curriculums that are free to the public, they actually rolled out a new branch of that education program called True Sport. And it came out this summer. So
that's the True Sport ambassador that you are.
There you
right?
go. Yeah. And so their website is truesport.org. And all you have to do is go there and order whatever materials that you want. So the original curriculums were junior high and high school. Now there is those have been updated, as well as there's two lower elementary ones. And I will say that a colleague and I actually helped them revamp those whole curriculums. So they're matched to state standards, national standards. They're free. All people have to do is go order them, and they're good stuff.
We think so much about the doping problem in elite sports, but you just said they're curriculum for elementary school children.
Correct.
What do you tell elementary school children about?
I'll tell you that, to me, that's actually the beauty of it, is that it's really a character education program through the lens of sport. And, I think back on my life and the lessons I learned from winning and from losing and being a teammate and being coached and, all the things that we probably have all experienced. And those are really important lessons that really play a role in my life now. And so beyond the doping information, to me, the thing that I'm excited about is the first chapter in every one of those curriculums is about character. And it's the six pillars of character. And so at the lower ages, what you start talking about is things like, you should be interested in the things you put in your body, and you should only put things in your body that a trusted adult has given you. So if we're talking about a medicine or a pill, you don't want to take things that you don't even know what they are. At the lower grades, you can start working with refusal skills. We talk about just being physically active, making good food choices. One of my favorite chapters is the one that talks about unique you. And the upper levels, it talks about, hey, I'm 5'3". I'm probably not going to be the center on the basketball team, but I'm 5'3" for a reason, because of my genes. And so everybody's unique, and everybody's unique because of their genes. And so you should embrace the things about yourself that are unique about you. And then from my perspective, it's a really nice anti-bullying message too, because if I feel good about me, I don't have to bully someone else to make me feel better.
Right.
So,
and maybe you won't tolerate the bullying as much.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or be strong enough to stop bullying if you see it. So there's a lot of, again, it's really those life lessons that we all hopefully learn at some point, and it just is using the lens of sport. Yeah. So at the lower levels, there's not steroids and stuff like that in those curriculums, but certainly at the upper levels and a lot more at the upper levels.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask. So as the curriculums progress up the grade levels, then it becomes more and more about the doping. And,
absolutely. Yeah. Well, that and, you know, picking role models, being a role model, knowing that if you're a high school athlete, you know, people are watching you. And so, you know, you need to be aware of that and then, you know, guide your life from that perspective.
Yeah.
Good decision making, some of the upper level stuff, you know, gets into the illicit drugs, marijuana, you know, some of the gateway drugs, energy drinks is a big issue now. So they're very, use an education term if I can come up with it, the scope and sequence is really good. So they're very broad per level, but then if someone started at the lower levels using them and worked their way up through high school, you know, they would get a pretty good education.
We often think of USADA as a testing and enforcement agency. Why do they get into the educational outreach side of things?
Well, you know, and I will give them credit for that because I think, and I've sat in meetings where, you know, their vision is we want to put ourselves out of business. And that's a direct quote from several people that I've talked to there. They realize that sports are important in America, and so they've actually had recently, within the last couple of years, commissioned a big report or big study where they looked at junior national players, coaches, parents, all the way down through little leagues, and talked about what does sport mean to you, and it's important in our society. I mean, I've taught lessons about how important is sport, and the first thing I usually say is pick up a newspaper.
Right.
At least a quarter of it's probably a sports page.
Right.
So,
especially here in College Station.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it is something that's that we know is really important, and so they're, you know, thankfully willing to put the effort and resources into educating young people with the thought, hey, it would be great if, you know, people, we didn't need to be here, we didn't need to exist.
Right.
So, my goal is to get the moniker True Sport to be cool. Hmm. It's cool to be fair. It's cool to be a good sport. It's cool to win with dignity and lose with dignity, and you know, all of those things. So,
well, you mentioned something there that goes along with one of the questions that we have here, and that is, how much influence do you think sport has on shaping the national culture overall?
Well, I think it does, but of course, I probably have a bias because of just my background in sports. And
but that's why we have you on the podcast,
because
you have the bias.
There you go. Yeah. Well, yeah, so I think it's a huge influence.
Yeah.
You know, I have nieces and nephews that I have gone and watched games, and, you know, sometimes I just shake my head about the parents and the influence, the negative influence that I see that parents have in, you know, sometimes you will say, oh, they're trying to relive their high school days through their 9-year-old baseball player.
Right.
So, but I think it has a huge influence. And again, I think from an individual perspective, it's those lessons that you learn. But I think the other thing that comes to mind too is the influence of coaches.
Mm.
So I know one of the things that's happening here is the coaching academy.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I'm hoping to be able to do some work with that, because one of the findings of the big USADA study was coaches have a huge influence
mm-hmm.
on their athletes. So if you, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Taylor Hooten.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Hooten was a high school baseball player right outside of Plano.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that he had a cousin that maybe was a relative that was a major league pitcher, and he wanted to play mm-hmm. major league baseball. He was told by a coach, need to get faster, need to get bigger, need to get stronger. So he started taking steroids, unbeknownst to his family or friends. And they noticed some of the negative effects of the steroids on him, so they got him to kind of stop. The unfortunate thing was that one of the side effects of coming off of steroids is depression,
mm-hmm.
and he actually ended up committing suicide as a 17-year-old high school boy. And so the Taylor Hooten Foundation now is a huge partner in the whole message of drug-free sport.
Yeah. I guess, you know, I've heard this argument, especially over the last 8 months, as the nation has dealt with what's going on with that bicyclist from Austin.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the questions or one of the comments that we hear is that it doesn't matter because they were all on performance-enhancing drugs. They were all on PEDs. Why should it matter if one person, if we catch one person when they're all doing it?
Yeah, and you know, and it's unfortunate that that's sort of a prevailing thought. Mm-hmm. It's like that's what those guys thought they had to do to compete. And, you know, I wish I had the answer.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you that I, from a health perspective, it certainly is not healthy for someone to take these substances. It's against the rules. And, you know, rules have to guide our lives. There's some interesting material out there, cowboy ethics. And I actually am talking about that in my classes this semester. So it's interesting to hear people. But it's kind of the code of the West. Mm. And basically, the writer of those books is left Wall Street. He got so disgusted with what was going on, like with the Bernie Madoffs and all and had always been very enthralled with the West. And so he has written some books about the code of the West and how cowboys lived. And one of the things he talks about is you can't legislate values. Because we can come up with more rules, more rules, sure. more rules, yeah. more rules. But until someone really says, look, this is how I'm going to live my life. This is my these are my principles, and these are the rules, and I choose to follow them. You know, we're just going to probably spiral lower and lower, unfortunately.
Yeah. It seems to be an issue of fairness. Is that kind of the back spine for all of this, is that we want to make sports as fair as possible?
I think so. Absolutely. I mean, I think you want people who are, there is a level playing field, and if someone wins a contest, they win because they performed better, they were better trained. We all have different abilities, you know, so they worked harder. So I think it is a matter of fairness. I think the issue, though, is that we're now in a win-at-all-cost, and the cost is high. It can be high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people's lives. You know, I'm sure that cyclist over in Austin is not having very much fun a lot of days these days. So I think I think those are the kind of the salient issues.
We had a recent podcast on where the issue of transgendered athletes came up, and promoting a fair playing field for those individuals would mean changing the rules to some extent. And so that whole issue of fairness in sports, you know, my question is, where does it stop? Because I know at one point WADA had the World Anti-Doping Agency had a proposal to ban altitude training, because not all athletes could do altitude training.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one person talk about doing away with carbohydrate loading.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of these proposals seem to become a little preposterous.
It's true, and you know, and I think it's interesting because I think the line, fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, it does get moved because substances go on the ban list, they come off the ban list.
The caffeine is one, right?
Yeah, at certain levels.
Yeah,
even testosterone.
Yeah,
which is a naturally occurring substance. If someone tests too high for that, then that's a red flag, and people are going to question that. So I think it is a dilemma, because the things that, you know, I learned in exercise physiology, to carbohydrate load, that's fair.
Right.
Right now,
that's,
I guess,
a matter of nutrition and training, basically.
Right. Yeah, that's good training.
Yeah.
So, you know, to a certain extent, I don't have the answer, but I feel comfortable that people are doing research and making reasoned decisions about what is legal and what is illegal. And, you know, the only thing I could say is, as an athlete, you have to abide by what's going on in your sport. You know, through the years, I've always thought it was really interesting the hubbub that was going on with Major League Baseball. But what people don't realize with Mark McGwire and some of those guys, they weren't breaking any Major League Baseball rules at the time. Yeah, there weren't any.
Yeah.
So they were taking legal substances. You could go into GNC and buy the stuff that they were using. They weren't breaking any rules. But, you know, in hindsight, you know, they probably faced lots of issues that they wish they hadn't.
Yeah. Take out your crystal ball. What do you see happening in 5 years? Do you think the attention that this cyclist from Austin has received, do you think that's going to actually change sport? Do you think that there is going to be less need for USADA in the future? Or do you think that it's just going to be, as they say in many places, a continuing arms race?
Yeah. I'm going to give you two answers.
Okay.
One is my Pollyanna answer.
Okay.
Because that's how I like to look at things, through those rose-colored glasses. So I personally have seen more interest in the curriculums, USADA's message, recently than in the years prior to me being associated with them.
Yeah.
So my hope would be that there is. The realist in me.
And that there is less need for USADA.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That people will buy into the their message more. Right. Yeah.
So the realist.
The realist is the realist. So, you know, all you have to do is walk out to the Little League baseball field and, you know, watch probably a half an inning of a game and, you know, if it's illegal or they're not keeping score, they're keeping score. And, yeah. And I'm not saying that, you know, competition is bad or those types of things, but I think that, you know, I had a discussion with a colleague this morning, you know, coaches' jobs rely on them winning. And so as long as that's true, people are going to probably do the right up to the line or over the line of what is actually legal and healthy for themselves.
Yeah.
So where I would love to think that, you know, you could do away with USADA, the reality is that it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah. If nothing else, they've become firmly entrenched over the last 8 months, haven't they?
I hope so, and I hope for some good reasons.
Yeah.
I hope people see what they did not as a witch hunt, but they were doing their job.
Right. They were doing it to make it fair.
Yeah. I mean, that's their mission. And so, you know, they did the things that they felt like were fair to everyone,
right.
Not just one person or one or two people. Yeah. So.
Well, Judy, thank you for being with us today. We've run a little bit short on time.
Okay.
We always give our guests an opportunity to give our audience a take-home message. You have a take-home message for today?
Well, I think my take-home message would be to the listeners, you know, if you're a parent, if you're a coach, if you're going into coaching, if you're an athlete, you know, really think about why you're doing what you're doing. You know, compete hard, compete fair. You know, if we had more time, I'd love to talk about the negative health consequences of taking some of these substances because you really have to be careful what you put in your body.
Right.
And so be a good consumer if you're an athlete and you're thinking about taking a substance. You know, again, if you're a parent or a coach, be careful what you say to kids, what they think is healthy or is even the dosage. Someone might say, hey, I need to take this much, but I'm going to take five times as much because it's going to be five times as better or as good. So just be a good consumer and play fair.
What the kids hear and what you mean are two different things often, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Again, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening and taking the time to download us and visiting with us. As always, we have our weekly podcast question here brought to us by our producer, Kelly. Kelly?
What is a negative side effect of steroids?
Super question. So be the first one to send us the answer to that question via email to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. And you'll win one of those nifty podcast t-shirts free of charge. We'll even send it to you shipping free. You don't have to pay shipping or handling charges either. So there's another benefit. We hope that you are able to join us next week for not only another podcast question, but for another interesting individual in the world of sports medicine and human performance. And until next week, we hope that you have an active and healthy week.
Thanks for listening to the Huffines Institute Weekly Sports Medicine Podcast. This podcast was produced by Cheryl Marek and Kelly Selman and made possible by generous support from the Omar Smith family and the Sydney and J.L. Huffines family. This podcast is published under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. That means you can't sell it or change it, but feel free to give it to everyone you know and to talk and blog about us. And in case you were wondering, our openings and closing are provided by JohnMilesProductions.com, and our music was provided by Dave Zeltner. Find him on the web at DavidZeltner.com. And just so you know, we love hearing from you. If you have questions or comments, please send them to huffinespodcast@hlkn.tamu.edu. From all of us at the Huffines Institute, we hope you have an active and healthy week.